Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Say with me, Jesus is Lord. One more time, Jesus is Lord. You know, this afternoon we were in here praying and the Holy Spirit began to move. Isn't there a wonderful presence of God here today? And he said, I want you to begin to pray over the seats that Jesus is Lord. Do you know that he's Lord over every situation of your life that you give him? Have you given him your problems today? Have you said, Jesus, I need you today. I need you in my finances. I need you in my family. I need you in my health. I need you to walk with me, guide me, and direct my path. You see, God is looking for those that will seek him. God is looking for those that are hungry for him. He's saying, "I awaken, awaken, and begin to go after me, because it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to be hungry. It's time to stop living in apathy." You know, I can't think of one more thing that'd be worse than a spirit of apathy. You know, where you get up every day and you say, well, I hope I can make it today. And you don't get up and being on fire for God. You see, apathy is when you get up and you pray once a week, or you attend church once a week. You only allow God into your life once a week. I think that'd be so horrible. I think that'd be so unpowerful. You know, it's only when you begin to invite him and you say, come, Holy Spirit, be in my life. I need you today, that you begin to invite him into every area, that the power of God begins to flow in and through you. You know, it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to get out of apathy. It's time to stop playing games. I told about how that we used to be in a city in the South, dear. And that city, everybody went to church. And my husband worked as a janitor, and he was in there. It was a Sunday morning, and he was in there scrubbing the floors, and a guy come in, and he goes, blankety blank, 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 blank. Are you going to make it to church? There's something wrong with the pitcher. There's something wrong with the pitcher. It's time to seek the Lord with all your heart. It's time to stop playing games, because you need him. You're going to need him things that are coming up in your life. You're going to need him when you're raising your children. You're going to need him when you're in your job. Do you think you're going to just get to go along with sarah, 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 whatever will be, and life will be a fun time? No. There's a real devil that has come to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to take you out. But those that will seek the Lord, those that have become hungry for him, they shall be satisfied. And I tell you what, they're overcomers. Oh, I tell you, I'm excited tonight about the word of God and about what God is doing. Ooh. I got to get back to my notes. The scripture is, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, I was thinking about, you know, Daniel's been teaching on this also. And I thought, he's blessed are the hungry. I thought, well, I'll just name mine. Blessed are the seekers, for they shall be abundantly filled. Those that seek God. You know, the other day, a pastor knows this because he's the one who told me this. I lost my Ray-Bans, $150 that he paid for Christmas. Well, he said, I started going through the drawers. Don't look holy, you do the exact same thing. I mean, I began going through the shelves, and I began going, looking under here, going through my truck. I was going everywhere. I was just pulling it out. And he said, dear, leave the house. You know, don't tear the house apart. He said, leave the house. You know, leave it intact. But you see, when you want something bad enough, when you're hungry for it, you don't stop. You begin to go after it. You begin to go in and you begin to seek. You don't stop at that one drawer. If it's not there, you keep going. It's $150. You get my drift? Yeah. Something, there's something about you don't stop, you keep going. And us girls know, we'll begin to, okay, where was I last? What happened this time? What happened that time? Where was I? And we begin to retrace our tracks. But you see, that's hunger. That's seeking God. When you begin to have that type of seeking, you begin to be abundantly satisfied. You know, in Acts, the second chapter, or actually the first chapter, it talks about that they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. And Jesus says, you go and wait. Everybody say wait.
Wait.
One more time.
Wait.
Right. We love that word, don't we? Especially Americans. And he said, go into Jerusalem and wait. And he said, I will send the Holy Spirit. You see, and he said, and it will come in power. So they began to go to the upper room. Did you know it was 50 days they were waiting? 50 days they were getting on their knees and praying and saying, God, we want the Holy Spirit to come. And they were missing Jesus. Do you realize they were waiting? Could you have waited that long? How many honest people? Probably not. Yeah. But they were waiting to be endued with on power. When you begin to wait upon the Lord, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God begins to come. And then there's an infilling of the Holy Spirit. And the presence of God begins to come. And then there's a supernatural power that's released upon your life. Tonight, I have a couple of testimonies. Diane was in our prayer meeting. Come on up tonight. And Margaret doesn't know it. I want you to tell about the two different things, the gal that came, things that have to do with revival and being hungry for God.
Yeah, well, I took a tumble about 3 weeks ago, and everything's working except for one part. And she asked, is anybody who had a prayer request? And I said, well, this knee just not giving it up. So she prayed for me, and it felt better. And she said, is it still some pain? I said, well, a little bit. And so she prayed for it again. And then she said, tell it to get. So I did. I said, get. And it left. Praise
Amen.
God. God's good.
You see, when you begin to seek God, when you begin to wait upon God, the presence of God, and then the power of God comes, that power from the Holy Spirit begins to come, and you begin to have signs and wonders following you. How many of you need a sign and a wonder today? How many of you need the power of God in your families? How many of you need the power of God at your work? How many of you need, say, I've got to have the power. I've been being beat up. How many of you say, that's me? I tell you what, when you begin to seek the Lord, you begin to go after Him, things begin to happen. You lay hands on the sick and they recover. You begin to see cars begin to work that didn't work. You begin to, and you're not a mechanic, if you get my drift. And things begin to happen because you have gone after Him. You now have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Margaret, come and tell another story that happened today about what happens when you begin to seek the Lord. There's a supernatural presence.
I was getting ready to go to lunch today, and when I came down the stairs, Dennis had opened the door for a young lady, and she was crying and sobbing, and you know, you could tell she was very upset. So I took her in the room and started talking to her. Well, her brother had tried to commit suicide the night before, and so she was very distraught over all of that. And so I was thinking how God, that was a divine appointment. God brought her to this place because He knew that we would help take care of her. And so, you know, I got to talk to her a little bit, got to pray with her. I gave her a Bible, gave her a little booklet on the new birth. And, you know, when I prayed with her, I said, what brought you to this place? She said, oh, I pass this every day going to school. She goes to the community college. And I thought, you know, so I invited her to come back. And I thought, it was no accident that she came here today, and it was no accident that I was the one coming down the stairs and got to minister love to her. So,
you know, And there's something about the Holy Spirit. When you get on fire for God, people are attracted to you. They begin walking in off the streets. I can't tell you the many times that people have said, well, I was driving down the road, and all of a sudden, my car just drove in, and I came in, and I got born again. You see, something happens when you become hungry for God. You become sold out to Him, and you say, you don't give Him second place. You don't give Him third place. You don't give Him fifth place, but you give Him first place. You begin to give Him first place in your life. Something begins to happen. You know, I love Acts 2, and I love that scripture. And I'm going, but ye shall receive power. Everybody say power.
Power.
Ability, which means ability, efficiency, and might. You know, when you begin to seek God, and you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you have power. And that power begins to flow through you. But you have to recognize Him and expect the Holy Spirit to move in and through you. And now I wanted to go over a few ways. How and why do I become hungrier for God? Why? Why become hungry for God? Well, one reason is because you want the power of God in your life in a greater way. And you know, a lot of times people don't realize how much they need God until they need a miracle. Don't wait till you need a miracle. But begin to seek Him now. You know, one of the best ways to become hungry for God is to confess. You know, Mark 11:23-24 says, confession, you know, it says, for surely I say unto you, whatever you say to the mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done. And he will have whatever he says. Confession brings possession. The more you confess that you're hungry for God, the more you begin to say that you need God, the more that you begin to say, I can't make it without Him, the more He begins to hang out with you because you're inviting Him in. Yes, Sunday, and I've just got to tell this story because I don't know stories about you, so I have to tell stories about myself. So I'm down in the nursery, and I was telling Pastor this, and there was a little boy who came up, and this little boy needed prayer. And I was talking to the mom, and I was giving her some scriptures to pray over the little boy. And I was sitting on a tub handing out toys. And another group of people came up, and they were visitors, and they wanted to meet me. So I wanted to talk to them. But anyway, while I was sitting there, and this little boy was there, the presence of God began to indwell that place. It was such a presence of God. The little boy turned around, and he kissed me. And the parents said that he never, never, never does that. And then he lifted his hands up and said, hallelujah. You see, mom and dad, they need a miracle. Mom and dad need a miracle. Don't wait till you need a miracle. But get hungry now. Get hungry now. Go after him. What you magnify gets bigger. What you minimize leaves your life. The more you confess that you need God, the more that you say, I'm hungry for Him, the more you say, God, I can't make it today. I have to have You in my finances. I have to have You in my health. I have to have You in raising my family. I have to have You in my business. The more that that presence of God begins to dwell with you, you begin to have a sense that God is with you. The next thing is pray that God will give you a divine hunger. Believe God, ask God, and expect God. James 4 says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Go after Him. Begin to invite Him into your life. Number 4, hang around people. Listen to music about hunger for God. Read books and people that are passionate and hungry for God, like D.L. Moody, Finney, Wordsworth, Maria Etta Wordsworth, F.F. Bosworth, John G. Lake. Keep the fire burning. You know, if you don't keep the fire burning, guess what? It's going to go out. You've got to stoke the fire. You've got to put those books in. You can't just come and hear the best preacher in all the world on Sunday and Wednesday night and expect to stay excited about God. It's going to take that daily devotion. When we were in Bible college, oh, we were spoiled, weren't we, dear? We had some of the best preachers in all the world come through Southwestern University. And I tell you what, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I don't know, I think that was Friday too, we had chapel. But when we left Southwestern, guess what? There's no chapel. There was nobody preaching to us every morning saying, oh, you can make it. Oh, God is a good God. You know, you're an overcomer. You're called to preach the gospel. You know, somebody who undergirds you all the time. All of a sudden, we had to feed ourselves. You know, you've got to begin to feed yourself. You've got to go after Him and abide in Him and begin to expect God in your life to move. And so by reading those books, by listening to tapes, and none of us have any, we have no excuse. You go to YouTube and you name it, it's on there. And you to keep that fire stoked and on fire for God. The next thing I wanted to talk about is, okay. Oh, I'm going to have to jump real quick here. Realize that passion or hunger for God is the first step towards achievement. Big hunger equals big things. Little hunger equals little things. The more you allow God to be in your life, the more greater things you're going to do. You know, those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. That's in Psalms 34:2. There's something happening, seeking God, that you're not going to have a lack. God's going to be there to take care of it because you have this relationship that you've developed, and God just wants to hang out with you, and you want to hang out with Him. And even before, am I too close to you guys? Okay, no, okay. I don't want to spit on you. Even before you think it, God begins to answer your prayer. Have you ever had that happen? You need something, and all of a sudden, it's there before you even think about it. The Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of God and all these
things.
What is it?
Things.
Do you need any things today? How many of you need a new car?
Yeah.
How many want a new house? How many want your family saved? How many want a turnaround in your life situation? You want to live better. Well, seek ye first. The first. Everybody say first.
First.
Not second or third. And all these things will be added unto you. The next thing I want you to know is in Matthew 6:31. And a lot of people don't realize this happens when you begin to seek God. It's in 31. It says, therefore, do not worry. It says, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For though after all those things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. Then it goes into the scripture, seek ye first. Something happens to worry. All of a sudden, the things that used to bother you go, big deal, God's got that one. You know, when you put Him first, and the pastor was telling me that's called the law of the first. When you put God first, He begins to honor you, and He begins to take care of you in a special way. There's something that begins to happen when you begin to go after Him with all your heart. Worry leaves. Fear leaves. Anxiety leaves. Anybody have problems with fear, anxiety? I tell you, if you'll begin to seek God first, that fear is going to leave. I got another great scripture for you. Let me give it to you. Da-da. Wrong page. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. If you have a problem with fear, if you have a problem with worry, then begin to seek the Lord. In fact, those that have a problem with fear or worry, please stand up right now. I want to pray for you. Come on. We're family here. Awesome. Those around, point your hand towards them. We're going to pray. You see, we're family here. We care about each other. Dearly Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus, and we speak to fear. We speak to anxiety. We speak to stress right now. We command it to go. We command it to go. We command it to go. And we thank you, God, right now that you are beginning to move in their heart, and you're causing them to have a greater hunger, a greater thirst, a greater desire. They're going to want to have a greater hunger to know you, God. I thank you that tonight, God, is a turning point, and that they'll never, never, never have this problem again because they're going to go after you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Woo. And the next thing about hunger, it increases your willpower. Isn't that awesome? How many of you have habits in your life that you'd like to get over? Well, something begins to happen when you begin to seek the Lord. It says in verse Psalm 37:4, it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. When you begin to get so hungry for God, you begin to seek him, and you begin to say, Father, I need you. Holy Spirit, I need you. I need help in getting over this particular habit. All of a sudden, he comes in on the scene, and he gives you a plan. He'll deliver you immediately, or he'll give you something to do to bring deliverance about your life. There's something amazing that happens when you begin to seek the Lord. There's something that happens in your life when you begin to go after him. And you know, I encourage you, if you've been playing games with God, it's time to seek the Lord. The Bible says, stir up the fallow ground, or break up the fallow ground. And I'll tell you, I started praying that prayer over my life. Daniel was talking about how 3 or 4 weeks ago, God began speaking to him. Well, God began speaking to me. He said, I want you to begin to go after me like you've never gone after me before. And then he began to say, he said, You've been caught up with a procedure. You see, I know the word. I know the word, but I stopped seeking the Creator. I've stopped seeking him and a relationship totally with him. Oh, yeah, I love God, but I was concerned about doing A, B, C and doing it correctly. Instead of saying, God, I need you tonight. God, I've got to have you. And when I began to do that, I instantly saw a change. I saw my joy change. I saw that my fear left. I saw that I began to have a greater boldness and a greater wanting to tell more people more about Jesus. Something began to happen in my life. I wasn't the same again. I said, I've got to have more. And then I began to study the scriptures, and I go, wow, all these things I'm seeing happen in my life. It's in the Word. Isn't that amazing?
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.